Jonathan Macri. He is the founder of Knicks Film School. They do an awesome job covering the Knicks. John, welcome back to the program.
It's great to be on. I think I had a cell phone in 1999 the last time the Knicks were in the finals. So this isn't that strange, but excited to chat some Knicks with you.
Awesome. You know what? I want to start off with a topic that I had on just before my break, which is, and ask you this. We'll get into all the celebration of this. We'll break down the series and preview it. But first question is, who would you like to offer your Knicks apology to? Mine was Karl Anthony Towns. Obviously, there are many choices, and I famously do remember an episode of your podcast where I think you were ready to trash the entire team a few months ago. But if I say to you, who is your Knicks apology, who are you going to give that apology out to?
Honestly, it's not really close, because with all due respect to Mikal Bridges, who I have been, you know, harsh on from time to time, and Mike Brown, who, you know, if you'd have talked to me after game three of the Hawks series, I think I would have been putting out some wanted ads for a new head coach. It has to be Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
And it's Towns for me, not only because of some of the doubts that I've had about him over the course of the 2 years that he's been here, but because I think, you know, I read into him more deeply than probably should have, and I would take, oftentimes, things he did not do or maybe didn't do well enough on the court, and think, well, you know what, that speaks to his, you know, intent off the court, or how much he really cares about winning, or how much he's bought into the team concept, when, you know what, all that is nonsense. This guy cares about winning as much as anybody on the roster. I think he has shown that over the course of the playoffs. So my apology note, you know, I've said this before, it's like one of those giant novelty cards you get for your husband or wife around Valentine's Day. That's what mine looks like for Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, I'm with you, and mine also had to, I guess I did not see that he had both this ceiling, this upside in both basketball effort and basketball IQ. I didn't know he had that in him. And one of the things that's been fascinating to me with, you mentioned game three against the Hawks, since Mike Brown and, you know, they made that change to make him the point center and the focal point at times, initiating the offense through him, it's like, I think we have wanted him, even with Shaquille O'Neal and post games and others, I think we have had wanted, the NBA has wanted a version of Karl Anthony Towns to be a certain kind of alpha player, and he seems to thrive now in a role where not only can he be great, but that facilitating and helping others be great seems to suit his personality really well.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because the game, you know, with all due respect to Shaquille O'Neal, and we all, you know, heard that interview around the middle of the year, which interestingly enough is when Cat started to kind of turn his season around. Mm-hmm. The NBA of Shaq and, you know, the last time the Knicks made the finals before this, it's not the same league anymore.
Yep.
It's spaced differently. You have a lot different, obviously, defensive schemes emboldened by much more versatile defensive players, to the point where if you look at the league over the last 10 years, you know, and you want to look for old style, traditional, you know, back to the basket, post up centers, it's basically Nikola Jokic, you know, a little bit Joel Embiid, and that's it. I mean, we just watched the Western Conference Finals where Victor Wembanyama, who I'm sure going to talk about, he would even have moments where he was flustered and unable to, you know, generate offense in an efficient way against the Thunder. So to look at Karl Anthony Towns for what he couldn't do and say, oh, well, we need you to be like that was never realistic. And I think part of the problem that Cat always ran into was, as you kind of just alluded to, trying to be someone that other people wanted him to be as opposed to the guy that he should have been all along. And the thing about Cat is he has a diverse skill set. And I think what we found out over the course of this playoffs is that passing is either at or near the top of that list.
Yeah.
And he's able to see over the top of the defense. Obviously, his timing on these reads has been great. And if we're giving credit where credit is due, give credit to his teammates because and to Leon Rose, obviously, for assembling the roster, because he has the likes of Mikal Bridges and Josh Hart and OG Anunoby and Jalen Brunson, actually, cutting off the ball, you know, and it's making life a lot easier for the Knicks. I'll be curious to see how much that offense that they ran, especially against the Hawks and a little bit against the Sixers and the Cavs, they're able to do against the Spurs, who are the best defensive team they faced. But I think Cat's playing the best ball of his career. And when you open up some of this stuff that we've seen, I think it gives him more confidence to shoot more threes, which he's obviously been doing very well. And that's going to be a big key to this series, because I'm not sure that the Spurs have an ideal matchup for him in the finals.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you is, who do you think gets the initial defensive assignment against Cat? How do you think they will defend him? And I say that because obviously these teams have played each other three times. But this version of the Knicks offense that can do, that has the flexibility to initiate offense both from the center or the point guard, either the Cat-centric offense or the Brunson-centric offense, they can initiate out of either. And the Spurs haven't played that version. And the common conventional wisdom last season that seemed to flummox the Knicks, and for parts of this season, is you don't play a big defensively against Cat. Yeah. You play an athletic kind of mid-size wing type of guy. And by doing that, you turn Cat into this, you know, you sort of negate him in some ways, and now you can take your big maybe and play him on Josh Hart, and the big then becomes a rover daring Josh Hart to shoot. And when teams unlock that, Tom Thibodeau didn't have the answer for that, and the answer now after game three of the Hawks series, suddenly what Mike Brown may have wanted to do all along with that Sacramento offense that he used to run with Sabonis or whatever, this point center type of offense. How do you see Atlanta trying to defend that if they put a smaller player on Cat with him being able to see over that player and pass the way he's been playing? Doesn't that play into the Knicks' hands?
Well, I'm happy you mentioned Josh Hart, because you're asking a Karl Anthony Towns question, but really you're asking a Josh Hart question. Because so you look at the Spurs starting lineup, and, you know, I talked about this a little bit on Knicks Film School earlier today. It might seem crazy to some fans who are maybe kind of, you know, tapping into the Spurs for the first time, but Stephon Castle is, you know, I think on Basketball Reference, he's probably listed as a point guard or a shooting guard. Whatever he is, you know, very much in the mold of a Jrue Holiday, which is a comparison that, you know, Fred Katz made to me on a recent conversation we had. And I think even though, you know, he's not the biggest guy in the world, he's sturdy, you know, 6'6", and he'll be able to, I think, physically try at least to hang with Kat. And if he could do that and the Knicks starting lineup stays as it is, then they could go ahead and they could slot Devin Vassell, who is a kind of longer wing that gives Jalen Brunson, at least makes Jalen Brunson work. Nobody could stop Jalen Brunson. What you want to do is try to make Jalen Brunson work. You want to take away some of his airspace. So you put Devin Vassell on Brunson. And then the key to this whole thing, as I was kind of getting at before, is you have Victor Wembanyama, you know, guarding in big air quotes here, Josh Hart. But really, they're going to allow Josh Hart to shoot. At that point, how the Knicks react to that, and I think you've seen some different things over the course of the playoffs. You know, the Knicks, they've obviously earned their right to be here. They've won 11 straight games by a million points. But in terms of their first two matchups against the Hawks and against the Sixers, neither of those teams had an ideal wing that could guard Cat. So you saw a lot in the first series. You saw Onyeka Okongwu on Karl Anthony Towns. In the second series, you saw even Joel Embiid on Karl Anthony Towns. The last series, you did get Mobley on Towns, but what did they do? They had some different ways to counter that. Obviously, going to Jalen Brunson, attack those weaker guard defenders, but also they took Josh Hart off the court some.
Yep.
And what happened during that big game one comeback? What happened during a couple other key moments
in game four?
Exactly.
Yeah.
When things were getting, you know, starting to get mucked up.
Landry Shamet. Yep.
And I love Josh Hart. I'm a big Josh Hart supporter. Knicks film school fans make fun of me all the time because I always say, I hate hives. I hate hive culture, and yet I'm the president of the Josh Hart Hive. So, you know, what leg do I have to stand on? But for as great as Josh Hart is and all the winning plays that he makes, there will be times in this series where I think they will probably be better when he is off the court. All of this is to say, I think the Spurs will try to defend Cat with Stephen Castle. It is then incumbent upon not only Karl-Anthony Towns to try and take advantage of that matchup, maybe even in some ways that we haven't seen, you know, in this playoff so far, trying to get the ball on the move, trying to put the ball on the floor towards the hoop, maybe even a post-up every now and then. But also it's going to be incumbent upon the Knicks that if you're going to put that smaller defender on Karl-Anthony Towns, you want to try to take advantage of his ability to pass over the top.
Right.
And the best way to do that may be to space the floor a little bit more, or alternatively, and this is something we have seen the Knicks do when they've played the Spurs in the past, by the way, is get Josh Hart directly involved in the action as a screener.
Yep.
That has always been the Knicks' go-to traditionally when teams put a center on Josh Hart. Now, usually it's Jalen Brunson with the ball and Hart screening for Brunson. One thing we haven't seen as much of is Hart screening for Cat. Is that something that the Knicks would think about doing if they try to go Wembanyama on Hart and use that strategy?
Yeah, I even love, though, Josh Hart, even when Cat has the ball, do they have action where Josh Hart, though, still is either screening for Brunson or is he screening for OG or getting one of those guys cutting and moving? You know, if he's doing things like that, where does Wemby, you know, sort of go if all that activity is happening?
Because that turns Wembanyama into a decision maker. And
Right. Obviously
he is, I mean, look, he's the most brilliant defensive player in the league today.
Yes.
As Josh Hart said in the press conference today, he's reason first unanimous defensive player of the year in history. But he is also young. And this is the first time he has been on this stage. And the more decisions you have to make him make in a given possession, I have to think that that's something the Knicks want to at least test out over the course of this finals.
We're talking to Jonathan Macri about the Knicks. And all right, so I had been thinking Stephon Castle on and that physical defense on Jalen Brunson. If it's Castle, they're going to try, let's say, on Cat. So is it De'Aaron Fox? Is it Dylan Harper? Who do you see then drawing the Jalen Brunson assignment?
Well, I think it's going to be Devin Vassell primarily, just because he has a little bit more length. And again, you can't stop him, but you want to, you know, longer defenders have traditionally, you know, think about Kelly Oubre. Kelly Oubre, not a great defender, but that's always been the guy, you know, traditionally the Sixers have stuck on Brunson over the years. Obviously, we saw Dyson Daniels get that assignment in the first round. The thing about Devin Vassell is I'm not sure how much he's going to be able to navigate the screening situation with the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
So just as we saw, you know, in, for instance, the last series against the Cavs, there will be a lot of possessions where Dean Wade, who is a good longer defender, 6'8", you know, start on Brunson, but they would give up that switch almost instantly. Now, a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Cavs had a couple of defenders in Donovan Mitchell and James Harden especially, who were not trying to, you know, fight to maintain position and stay off of the Brunson assignment. They were willing to give up those switches. I'm very curious to see how the Spurs are going to react in those same situations because, you know, De'Aaron Fox, you know, especially, and even a guy like Julian Champagne, those are going to be two guys who start. And you mentioned Dylan Harper, who's a very talented player, obviously very young. I think they are going to get their chances to go against Brunson one-on-one. And again, it all comes back to Wembanyama, because if you're switching that and you're saying to Brunson, okay, we know you're going to be able to get to your, you know, 16, 18 feet, but we want you to get there because we think our best chance of winning this series, at least when we're on defense, is to make Brunson take tough twos because he knows he's not going to be able to get that much closer to the paint with Wembanyama down there.
Mm-hmm.
So I really do think it's going to be, you know, a chess match, because I think the thing with Brunson, look, he is as brilliant a shot maker as there is in the league today, and that includes Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who the Spurs just beat. The thing with him is, can he continue to find that balance between calling his own number and trying to not just get his teammates involved, but, you know, making sure that his teammates have opportunities to make plays, not only for themselves, but for him. And that's a lot easier said than done. But I think if you're looking at like one of the keys to the series, you know, how many assists does Brunson average versus how many points does he average? I think it's something to keep an eye on.
So we're talking about how the Spurs will defend the Knicks. If we're flipping it and we're thinking of Wemby, obviously there is OG Anunoby, and who's been terrific, you know, been as good as you can be, I guess, in guarding Wemby. But there's also Mitchell Robinson, who now has the broken thumb. How do you expect, you know, how important is Mitch to this series, and how do you expect the Knicks to approach using Mitchell Robinson, using OG, and defending Wemby?
Yeah, I mean, the broken pinky or broken metacarpal, you know, is all this different stuff is flying around as far as what.
Yeah, broken hand, broken fifth metacarpal.
It's not what you want, I think. It's something we could all agree on the eve of the finals. Look, if there's anybody in the league who you say, can they break their pinky and still be an effective player, it's probably Mitchell Robinson. I think if he could play, he will certainly see time on Wembanyama, if for no other reason than, you know, you could expend a couple of fouls, because Wemby is very good at drawing fouls. I think he went to the line 57 times in the 7-game series in the Western Conference Finals. But this is an OG and an OB series. I actually would say on both ends. Like, we talked a lot about Kat. We talked a lot about Jalen Brunson. The Spurs have good defenders to throw at those guys. I don't think they have a good defender for OG Anunoby. So offensively, he's going to be a key. But defending Wembanyama, you know, the thing about OG Anunoby is he is a combination of physical. You know, you saw Isaiah Hartenstein, once a Nick, always a Nick, do a good job in that aspect defending Wembanyama in the Western Conference Finals. But OG Anunoby is also as good of an off-ball defender as there is in the league. And I think if the Knicks could get, and this is a whole ecosystem, the Knicks have to form here to be successful. If they could put enough pressure on the ball and on these, you know, San Antonio passers to make it so that their entry passes are a little bit distressed when they're trying to get the ball into Wembanyama, you're giving OG Anunoby a chance to disrupt the possession before the ball ever gets into wherever Wemby is. So I think that's the key. And then, look, if Wemby gets the ball, obviously he's tall enough to shoot over the top of anybody, but I think OG's going to bother him. I think OG's going to make life tough for him. OG is – there's nobody better at fronting a post player in the league than OG Anunoby. I think the best advantage the Knicks have in this series is the fact that they have Anunoby to basically not stop Wemby, because no one's going to stop him, but fluster him over the course of the series. And then just the last thing regarding the turnovers, if it's one really significant flaw I think this Spurs team has, and we saw it on occasion throughout the entire playoffs, these young guards, especially yep. Stephen Castle, are prone to turnovers. So, you know, it'll be an interesting dance with what Mike Brown decides to do, because on one hand you could say, all right, you know, maybe I'll hide a Karl Anthony Towns on a Stephen Castle because he's not a threat to pull up from deep, and I feel comfortable that Towns is at least gonna be able to stand his ground. But on the other hand, if I put, you know, a Mikal Bridges or a Josh Hart, or even occasionally an OG Anunoby on Stephen Castle, am I going to be able to get the Spurs into forcing turnovers and use my defense to generate offense?
It will be a very interesting series. Give me your prediction. Who do you got in how many games?
So I have not made an official prediction yet. I'll make it here because why not? I think the Knicks are going to win. I think experience is going to come into a play here, certainly. And I think it, you know, the Knicks have run roughshod over the East. They are coming in extremely well rested. The Spurs were just through a war. And I think if you listen to the Knicks, if you look at the Knicks and you paid attention to them, even the night that they won the Eastern Conference, this is a team who knows that their mission is not over yet. And I wonder if there isn't going to be a part of the Spurs that feels like, yep, hey, we took down the defending champs. Nobody thought we would do it, and we did it. Not to say that they're going to settle or they're not still going to be hungry. There's a special group. You don't get to the finals without being a special group. But I'm going to take the Knicks, and I'll take the Knicks in six. I think I predicted Knicks in six in every series this or the last two. I've definitely predicted it, and they swept both. So I'd love to be wrong in that sense again, but I'll go with Knicks in six as my official prediction.
All right. Jonathan Macri, founder of Knicks Film School. Really appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Absolutely. We'll have to talk hopefully after there is one more trophy here in New York before all is said and done.
We can talk parades then.
Would love to.
All right. Take care.